My title today is, Lord, I have a really dumb idea. Now, by the time I get done, Dan may be thinking that was a really dumb idea to have me. But I don't want you to get too hung up. I know I'm using a D word, dumb, and we're not supposed to use that word, but I hope you come out of here today going, maybe using the word dumb was a dumb idea, because they really aren't such dumb ideas sometimes, what's going on in our lives. Hopefully that made sense. So I'm going to start off with, I've got a ton of notes, and I lost track of all of them when I was up here earlier today, but I'm going to start off with an egg. This is an egg. Now, we can fry it. We can poach it. We can scramble it. We can hard boil it. See, there we go. That was the hard boiled one, just in case you were wondering. Back in my Sambo days, we used to take a fork tine, drill a tiny little hole in one end of the egg, another one in the other, then blow really hard, blow out all the insides. Then you'd throw them around and scare the devil out of everybody, but it was kind of fun. But anyway, an egg, think about this. Whose idea was this a few thousand years ago? This is an egg. Think about what's inside of here. It's kind of gooey and disgusting if you really think about it. Just think about it. We're so used to this. Whose idea was it to go, hey, I think I'll eat that gooey stuff inside of there? Have you ever thought about that? That's a dumb idea. And yet, this is an incredible thing, what we can do with this. And thank goodness for the egg, because otherwise we don't have cakes, we don't have cookies, anything else. But somebody at some point had to say, you know what, you got a bunch of these birds running around. Why don't we go eat those things that come out of the back end of them? But we do it now. We don't think about it. They're kind of fun. And then another really dumb idea. It's empty, but milk. Now think about milk for a minute. It comes from a bovine. We got a bovine walking around in the fields, and what do? Thank you. Hit right. He got to the punchline of my whole sermon. They eat and they poop. So we're going to take this stupid animal, sorry, I used the S word there too, but a not very bright, intelligent animal, and we're going to follow it around, and after it's been doing its thing, eating, and then it just makes cow pies, and that's pretty much what a cow does. We're going to go to that same part of that cow pie-making part of the cow, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to see if I can get something to drink. Think about that. Really? I'm going to go to the back end of a cow and try and squeeze something out of it, and then I'll drink it? It's a dumb idea, I think. But we're so used to it now. Chocolate. Who likes chocolate? Yeah, okay, I do too. Who likes chocolate without sugar in its normal form and state all by itself? Nobody. Yeah. You just about gagged and died. There's only one person here, and that would be Larry, that probably knows or might have ever had it like that. But in World War II, they would make chocolate and concentrate and stuff, and then they would give it as food rations, but they were the last resort food rations. I've been reading the book Unbroken. And the story of whatever his name is, I can't pronounce it. Did anybody see the movie Unbroken recently? They gave chocolate, and it was a last resort ration, because they knew that guys wouldn't eat it otherwise. But it's high in calories and everything else, so it's an incredible source of energy. But they know that nobody's going to touch it unless they're really desperate. So somehow we figured out that it's okay and it's good to eat, but it's really nasty all by itself. And then here's another bright idea. I wonder if he... Uh-oh. We're going to take dry roots that are nodules in the ground. Peanuts. And we're going to eat these things. But better than that, whose idea was it to say, look, we got these dry, crusty roots in the ground that are nodules on a plant. Nodules, they look like they're little malformed growths on the roots of a plant. And we're going to take this and turn it into something nice and yummy and creamy. Whose idea was that? That was yours. Okay. Now, somebody earlier in the first, when I was speaking up earlier, they said, no, this doesn't really qualify as peanut butter, but that's obviously some artistic taste. And then to think about it, whose dumb idea was it to take two dumb ideas and put them together? I mean, really? Really? Whose idea was that? I don't have any idea. And then I mentioned we've got broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Those are dumb ideas. And to quote Jim Johnson, I'm just saying, those are dumb ideas. So there's nothing good or redeeming about them. No, okay, just kidding. Sorry, moms, if you're worried about that one. So, but some other dumb ideas that truly were ridiculed, thought impossible, just plain stupid. No way it's going to work. You do not know what you're talking about. The earth is round. Remember that one? Yeah, okay, he's nodding. Okay. Here's one from 1995. Bacteria cause ulcers. Ridiculed. What are you talking about? We all know that ulcers are not caused, they're not caused by bacteria. Yeah, oof. Yeah. Here's another one that I really like. Huge man-like animals living in the mountains. Bigfoot, Sasquatch. Hey, no, mountain gorillas. Mountain gorillas were not scientifically verified until 1902. They were thought to be legend just like Sasquatch. I'm not suggesting that Sasquatch is... Okay. Heavier than air flight, supersonic flight. Here's another one, radical idea. Stupid, there's no way it will work. Kindergarten. Solar power, wind power, steam power, won't work. Zippers. Won't work. Now I'm going to share a little story of another man that should be the hero of every mother in the world. I'm done with that one. If I can even say his name, Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis. Anybody know him? Good old Ignaz. He was 28 years old. He was a doctor. He wanted to figure out why so many women in maternity wards were dying from puerperal fever, commonly known as childbed fever. He studied two maternity wards in the hospital. One was staffed by all male doctors and medical students, and the other was staffed by female midwives. Midwives, poor people, doctors for all the rich people. That's basically how it got divvied down to. However, he noticed that which one had the mortality rate five times on average, five times more than the other? Midwives? No. The doctors. How come? There is big difference. Five times, in some cases, 10 times the mortality rate. Guess where everybody was screaming to go if you were going to have a baby? Can I have a midwife, please? Please let me have a midwife. I do not want to go to the doctor. I'm going to die over there. So he noticed that the midwife's clinic, the women always gave birth on their sides. And so that was not the difference. Then he noticed that whenever someone in the ward died of childbed fever, a priest would walk slowly through the clinic, past the women's beds with an attending ringing bell. He theorized that the priest and the bell ringing so terrified the women after birth that they developed a fever, got sick, and died. No, that one wasn't it either. They didn't know. So then he noticed that one of his colleagues, a pathologist, had fallen ill and died. And he looked at him and went, he died of childbed fever. He can't, he's not a woman. And he realized he died, same symptoms exactly that the other women were getting. So finally he hypothesized that there were cadaverous particles because all the doctors were practicing on cadavers to learn about anatomy. He theorized that there were cadaverous particles, little pieces of the corpse that students got on their hands, and they would transfer to the other women. This guy was 17 years before Louis Pasteur. We've never heard of him. He was ridiculed and scorned, primarily because he was suggesting that the doctors might be the ones passing along death to the women. And they were, now unknowingly, but they were the ones that were doing it. He ended up asking him and said, okay, moms, wash your hands. Mortality rates plummet to about 1%. Funny how things can happen, but it was a pretty dumb idea. Now, he was ridiculed and scorned, eventually ended up in an insane asylum where he was beaten and killed. True story. I saw it on Wikipedia, so verse, yeah. Yeah. But he stepped out. Pretty amazing. Now, I went in, and as I was reading through the Bible, you don't have to go very far before you start looking at what you think might be dumb ideas. Now, again, a reminder, because Johanna was the one that, after we got done first time sharing this, she goes, I think I'm going to have to disagree with you here. So it was an awkward moment as your preacher. You don't really want people to disagree with you half most of the time. But she said, I'm not sure that those were necessarily dumb ideas, and I think that was the idea of the message I'm trying to give today. But here was one that would look like a pretty dumb idea. So Samson, he's going to go and slay a bunch of Philistines, 1,000 of them, in fact. I've got 1,000 marked out. So he's going to go do that. How is he going to do that? What's the really bright idea? I'm going to whip out my trusty sword, you know, it's kind of like Excalibur, and I'm going to go lopping off heads. Is that what he does? Take a sword. Does he put on some armor? Got the breastplate of righteousness. He's got his feet shod. All that. Nope. What does he use? The jawbone of a donkey. Really? That is not my idea of a smart idea. Think about it. The jawbone of a donkey. Okay? But that's what it does. And then we go to Numbers 22. And God says, skip the whole jawbone. We'll use the whole donkey, but we'll have him talk. Okay? Now, hopefully you're not all walking away thinking Glenn's suggesting that God's ideas are dumb ideas. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we think they are. We sometimes think our ideas are. So I'm going to move on now, laying a little bit of groundwork, but we're going to go on to John chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. This is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for those people to eat?" Now he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, But how far will they go among so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. At this point, I'm having flashbacks to the cows and the whole cow pie things, but there's just plenty of grass. Maybe that's what he's going to eat. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. They got to eat all that they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So we go, let's go through this a little bit and look at some of the bright ideas. The first one he talks to, who's the first person he goes to talk to? Philip. Now Philip is, they've crossed over the Sea of Galilee, and up on the top as you cross over you get to Bethsaida. Philip's from Bethsaida. So does Philip know the neighborhood? Probably. Yeah, he knows where the good restaurants are. He probably even knows some of the caterers. He certainly knows where the Costco is, because we're going to have to go get a bunch of food for a bunch of people, because it's his neighborhood. So Jesus asks him, and he says, hey, what are we going to do? Let's go feed him. And Philip's, he's kind of an accounting type, because he starts figuring out what it is that we're going to do, because I'm pretty sharp. I can figure this out. Let's see. I got 5,000 people. That's 5,000 men. I got their wives, got a bunch of kids. I don't know, we're talking 20,000 people roughly, that's estimated. Now let's see if they all get a bite and they carry the 2, 3. Yep, it's going to take 8 months' wages for each of you to get one bite. And he's figuring it out from a man's perspective. Can't do it. We cannot do it. And then we get this guy called Andrew who comes along. And what is Andrew? I'm going to read from a book here. This is James Montgomery Boyce, one of his sermons on this chapter. He had 17 sermons that he gave from the 6th chapter of John. So he got quite a bit out of this. So he says, Andrew, and kind of his response is, I, Andrew, I do not have anything to offer, but I'll go and see who does. And it may be, his point is, you may be an Andrew. You may not necessarily have something that you can do to provide a solution, but maybe you know where to go and find the answer. So Andrew, he goes out and he finds a kid. A little insignificant boy. From a human point of view, just he's a little boy, poor, insignificant, and yet that boy did something that set him apart from all the other boys who may have been in the crowd that day. That boy gave his lunch. Now, you want to think, does this sound like a really bright idea? Here's my solution. Here, I'm an 8-year-old boy or whatever. We don't know exactly how old he is. But I'm an 8-year-old boy and we got to feed 20,000 people. Everybody's going to come to, here, have my lunch. Really. He comes and he offers his lunch. It was insignificant. Probably as really that boy was. We don't know his name or anything else about him. But the point of the story is that insufficient from the hands of the insignificant becomes sufficient and significant in the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So maybe, just maybe, it isn't such a dumb idea. Because we get to get out of the way. We get to stand in awe and watch what Jesus can do. See what he can do with our dumb ideas. Leave room for those dumb ideas. Because I think hopefully you're all getting the idea that maybe they aren't so dumb after all. Don't underestimate the power of dumb ideas. And don't forget, what miracle can Jesus do with dumb ideas? I've got a couple of stories. The first one, some of you may guess who this is, but it's the story of an African-American, young back in the 30s, but a black boy. Gets raised up, pretty traumatic childhood. By the time he's 5 years old, he's got major trauma in his life. And he develops a severe stutter. And is effectively a mute. Will not speak for the next 8-9 years of his life until he hits high school. And because of a teacher, the impact of an English teacher, encouraging him and prodding him along, he kind of comes out of that shell, but he has virtually not spoken a word in 8 or 9 years. Highly intelligent, but won't speak. So teacher encourages him and says, maybe you got some idea. We got some ideas that maybe you can go do. And he decides he's going to go pre-med. Now, can you think of anybody who's on that pre-med route that's African-American now in our culture? I'm thinking Ben Carson. That's not who I'm talking about. So, goes on, ends up, goes into military service for the Korean War. And comes out of there. Think about it though. What's this kid's history? Basically all of his life from a very young boy until his teenage years. Wouldn't speak. Could not speak. James Earl Jones is one of the most iconic voices of our time, and maybe of all of history, because it's one that we know that voice. That was the story of James Earl Jones. Who would have thought, hey, I've got this really dumb idea, but maybe I can pursue a passion for acting, for speaking occasionally. Anybody ever heard that voice? Yeah? But who would have thought somebody with his history and his background. Now, how many knew that? He was a severe, severe stutterer, not just a little bit now and then when he's a little nervous, but one of the greatest voices of our time. I always thought that was just a great story of, hey, I've really got this dumb idea. I want to become a professional speaker and actor. I stutter terribly, but that's what I want to go do. Now I'm going to switch gears just a little. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, not to brag or anything, but for me, it was a reminder that, hey Lord, I've got this really dumb idea. I worked in banking. I got out of college, I graduated, and I went off and I worked in banking for about 10 years. And I think I was either 32 or 33 years old. I was a vice president, had pretty good pay. Had the old stock options from a really good company at the time. That was Washington Mutual. But I just felt like this is not the call. There was something else the Lord wanted me to do. And so the really dumb idea for me was, well, maybe I should go into full-time Christian ministry. I had no idea what that would entail. Christy turns 5 years old, and we said, well, we want her to go to Christian school, so off she goes to Rainier Christian Schools. And she's there about a year, and I get onto the school board, and the local school board, and then I got onto the district school board, and that lasted about 6 months before they fired me. Not really. I had to step off the school board so they could hire me to become the business manager and then development director. But that was, for me, one of those listening to that small, still voice and saying, this doesn't make sense penciling out on paper. Leaving the nice, cushy job. I've got 3 kids at home. They're little. My wife's a stay-at-home mom. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it work? But kept on pursuing that dumb idea. Watched the Lord open those doors for that. And that's another 2-hour sermon just to share the rest of that story and how God, I think, honored that decision and provided for us day by day by day by day. Because I was willing to pursue what a lot of people thought was a dumb idea. Trust me, I had some people at work that were going, "You're doing what? Don't we, really?" They couldn't believe it. But listening to the Lord, I think, so hopefully you take that as a encouragement. So some lessons learned from this. God can use jawbones. God can use, the King James Version has a different word for donkeys, but God can use donkeys. Okay? Sometimes the King James Version just fits right. It really does. But it really does. And I had done there, just to quote Jim Johnson, I'm just saying, it's a donkey. You can use it. God can use donkeys. So God will use seemingly dumb things, dumb ideas, and dumb, but maybe not really, dumb people to accomplish his purposes and to do his work. Be willing, be ready for God to surprise you, because his plans and purposes really probably aren't so dumb after all. Amen.